So Galatians 5:25 to 6:10. It's on page 946 if you have a pew Bible. I do encourage you to open your Bibles and read along, even though it's on the screen behind us. Galatians 5:25 to 6:10. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, one of the shows that we used to watch sometimes as a family, maybe you've seen it before, called American Ninja Warrior. Anybody seen that? Yeah, it's a great show. You've never heard of it? It's an obstacle course show where you kind of get out there and it's like, you know, you bounce on these trampolines, lift yourself up. It's like a really high-end obstacle course where you have to be really, really strong. There's also another show similar to it on Netflix called Beastmaster or Ultimate Beastmaster, where it's even crazier and bigger and you climb up these huge things and, like, it's just extreme. And, you know, as you watch that, or as I watch that, I go, I think I can do that, you know? And I think I'd be okay, just a little bit of training, and I would probably be okay. But the reality is, you know, I have a hard time just doing a pull-up, and you got to do a lot of those on there, and you got to swing through all these things, and I would fall all over the place. And what's more likely is if I were to compete in those contests, going in these extreme obstacle courses, it wouldn't look like I was a ninja warrior or an extreme beast master. There's another show out there called Wipeout. And if you've ever seen that show, it's also an obstacle show, except for the producers of the show did not pick the people that were fit or strong. I am convinced they picked the people that would wipe out the most. So uncoordinated people that are going to fall and get a laugh. And that's kind of how I would probably look on the obstacle course. And in Wipeout, they literally, like, you know, they try to make you fall. That's the whole point of it, that they do not want you to get through. They want it for the laughs. And, you know, as we go into our study in Galatians today, we are talking about walking and living by the Spirit. And, you know, we go through this life, and maybe it's a little bit like an obstacle course, and in many ways, we think we're going to do really well. And maybe as a Christian, or maybe if you've just become a Christian, maybe you think, yeah, I got this, you know, I'm Beastmaster, Ninja Warrior, I can go through all this by myself. But the reality is, we often, it kind of looks more like Wipeout, where we just stumble and we fall, and as we've been going through the book of Galatians, it talks about how if we try to live this life under our own strength, and as the Bible talks about in the flesh, that's just as a person who is unredeemed in our own kind of abilities, we will wipe out, we will sin, we will fall all over the place. And the solution that the Bible offers to us is that instead of trying to go at this life by ourselves where failure is guaranteed, we can call on the name of the Lord, and we are given the Spirit. And we are no longer flesh people, but we are Spirit people. And what God gives to us is the greatest gift that we could ever have. And the greatest gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity is given to us to indwell us, live inside of us, and help us to go through this life so that we can grow in righteousness, so that we can honor God, so we can go through this life and reach the end, be successful, and be with God in eternity. Now, along the way, we will stumble and trip, and it will look like the game show Wipeout. It will. But the Bible tells us and lays out for us how we can successfully walk in step with the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about today. Today we're in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25 to 6:10. And as we go through here today, our big idea, if you have a bulletin there where you can fill out the blanks, we do that every week just to kind of keep you engaged. But the big idea that we're talking about is this. When we keep in step with the Spirit, we grow in humility. We love others genuinely. We restore the fallen gently, carry burdens appropriately, and tirelessly sow toward eternity. And so, that might seem like a long, big idea, but as we walk with the Spirit through this life, there is going to be things that happen as a result of that, because the Spirit is guiding us. The Spirit is taking us along so that when we keep in step with the Spirit, we grow in humility as people. We will learn to love others genuinely. We will learn and see that it's important, but we will also restore the fallen gently. That's people who have sinned or who are not keeping in step with the Spirit. We will restore them gently. We'll carry burdens appropriately, and we will tirelessly sow toward eternity. Eternity is the goal, keeping that in mind, not just thinking about what is right in front of me, but lifting our eyes up towards the goal as we go along. And so this is what we're looking at today in the book of Galatians. And as we've been going through Galatians chapter, the whole book of Galatians actually, what we've seen just in the last couple of weeks is that the Apostle Paul is speaking, and the whole book is talking about our freedoms that we have in Christ, or do you want to go back under slavery? And Paul has kind of come, and he's been speaking to the church in Galatia, and he has told them now and laid it out for them that you must be people that live by the Spirit. And last week we were talking about how the deeds of the flesh or the sinful nature, our old self, are pretty obvious, the acts of the flesh. And we looked through all of those. And then we also talked about how the fruit of the Spirit is produced in us when we walk in the Spirit. So today's passage, and we won't go through preaching all that, but I would encourage you to read it and go back and listen. But today, these verses, which flow right out of that, the idea right in verse 25, it says this. So Galatians 5, 25 is this. It says, so since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And so everything that we talked about last week, the fruits of the Spirit, the deeds of the flesh, and just one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible, which is just, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other. And just that idea of walking. And that's what we're going to talk about today. This whole passage that follows is, verse 25, since you live by the Spirit. And so our first point there in your notes is followers of Jesus are called to keep in step with the Spirit. Now, this is a little bit, maybe if you ever were at camp or maybe old church picnics and or maybe just at a birthday party. Have you ever done a three-legged race before? Yeah? All right. I need, we're going to take the two oldest in here and the two young. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that right now. We're not going to do a three-legged race. But if we were to do a three-legged race together, they're pretty easy. Two people go beside each other, you tie their legs together, and you say, go, and you try to race. But if you've ever done that before, it doesn't really matter if you're the fastest and the best, because you have to keep pace with the person beside you, with the speed that they're going, in the way that they're running. Because if you don't, you're both going to trip, or you're going to trip, you're going to fall, and you're going to hit the ground. Keeping in step with the Spirit is much like that. The Bible tells us that we are to keep pace with the Spirit, that the Spirit is leading and guiding, and we are coming alongside what the Spirit is already doing in our lives. That's what we are called to do. So followers of Jesus are called to keep in step with the Spirit. And verse 25 of Galatians says, since we live by the Spirit, this is saying that if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are to live by the Spirit. There's no other way to live as a Christian. A Christian must have the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, in their lives. If you don't, you are not a believer. Even as our missionary was speaking up there, talking about how people proclaim Jesus. He knows people that believe in him in some ways, think he is good, but they haven't made him a part of their life. That means the Spirit hasn't indwelt them. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the third person of the Trinity. We've been talking about the fruits of the Spirit, which is how our behavior and our character is changed because the Spirit lives in us. But here it is, since we live by the Spirit. So we have to be a Christian. We have to be a follower of Jesus. We have had to have put our faith, hope, and trust in Jesus for this to be true of our lives. If not, the part in Galatians talks about we are still in our flesh. We are still seeking to live by our own flesh, our own passions, and our own desires, and we are living for this world. We don't see eternity, and we're not calling for help from God. As it continues on, it says, so let us keep in step with the Spirit. The idea is this. There should be a desire, if we are followers of Jesus, to keep in step with the Spirit. If there is not a desire, we need to pray for that desire, but there will be a desire because we've given up sin, we've confessed that, and we want to honor God with our lives. We have put him on the place where we say, living for Jesus is good. And so we want to do this. As it continues on in verse 26, we move to our next kind of point there. And it says this, verse 26 of Galatians 5, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. What we're going to see in this whole passage coming up is as we live in step with the Spirit is going to guide us through our lives, but he's going to guide us directly to people. The fruit of the Spirit and where God is going to lead us is he's going to lead us to others. God, we don't just become Christians and God sends us on a great adventure to go and, you know, do stuff all by ourselves in the absence of people. He has redeemed us, loved us, lives inside of us. Why? So we can go into this world and represent him, loving his good creation, loving his people, being kind to them, compassionate. He loves us, each and every single one of you. And so, the Bible talks about how as Christians, we are his ambassadors. What's the mission that you think he's going to lead us on if he's living in us, if we're in step with him? He is going to lead us directly to other people, to care for them, to love them. And as it says here in verse 2, which we will get to fulfill the law of Christ, which is to love others as Christ loved us. If we're in step with the Spirit, we are going to love others. That's where God leads us. That's exactly where he is going to lead us, and we're going to see that here. But in order for us to love other people, verse 26 reminds us that there needs to be a heart change. There needs to be this ongoing change, and that's not something you do yourself. You work at it by receiving feedback, but the Holy Spirit living in you as you keep step with the Spirit is going to change you. And so it says this, let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So provoking and envying are both forms of conceit. So what is being conceited? And so being conceited is having this puffed up view of yourself. It's really living in a fantasy world about who you are. This conceited is you don't really see clearly who you are. You think you're better than you really are. And so as a result of this, you don't have humility. So the point in 5:26 on your notes is we grow in humility as we understand our new identity in Christ. Okay? So as people who live by the Spirit is in us. We're no longer flesh people. We are growing in the fruits of the Spirit. It tells us that we should not become conceited, puffed up in any way, provoking each other. So what does provoking mean? The idea here of provoking others as we have this false view of ourselves is sometimes we look at others and we think we're superior to them. But this all comes with not seeing ourselves clearly, not seeing ourselves as redeemed by Jesus. We think we're a few notches above them. That's what provoking is. And so to prove that I'm better than people, I kind of prod them. I poke them. I challenge them to prove that I'm superior. Or because I have an inflated view of myself, I may look to others, or a deflated view, I look to others and I may envy them. I think they're inferior. I think I'm inferior to them. And I see them and I go, oh man, I'm jealous of them, I envy them, I want what they have, because I'm not confident in who I am in Christ. And so our identity as a Christian brings humility to us. We don't think we're better than people, and we don't think we're less than people, because we understand that we are loved by God. And there is nothing greater than that, to have your confidence and your firm foundation, not in anything that can shift or move, or what you have done or what you haven't done, or in the amount of money in your bank account or your job or your status in life, but to know that you are loved, to have confidence in who you are, because Jesus loves you, accepts you, has forgiven you, and is walking with you and will take you to eternity. That is the great confidence that allows us in humility, in the rest of this passage, to lean into loving others. Because if I love others who maybe the world thinks is less than, it doesn't change who I am or where my confidence is. I don't need to look at people and think, oh, they're better than me, they don't need me at all. No, if the Lord leads us in a place, we go and we love them. As it continues on here, we're going to get in chapter 6, verse 1. So all of that is a foundation to then leading in to loving and caring for other people. And so verse 6 of chapter 1 says this: brothers and sisters. This is actually how Galatians chapter 6, the whole chapter starts. And Paul starts this because he's referring to brothers and sisters. He wants people to realize that this is a familial, a family kind of thing that he's saying. These aren't strangers. He's saying, look, body of Christ, those who together are living by the Spirit, us, a local church gathered together, brothers and sisters. And he's going to give this command and this plea to them. If someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. The Apostle Paul, as he comes and he talks to the family, says, brothers and sisters, I want you to know this. I love you. And this is what needs to happen. If someone is caught in sin, and what does that mean, being caught in sin? Well, the word there is kind of like being entangled or being overtaken by sin, okay? So if someone is sinning, all right, that's pretty clear. If someone is sinning, you who live by the Spirit, who is supposed to live by the Spirit? We already said this right at the beginning in verse 25. You who, since we live by the Spirit, Christians, right? So if you're a Christian and you live by the Spirit, you're walking in the Spirit, it says you can, if you want to, if you have time. No, it says you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Now, this is a hard teaching in the Bible, because in our day and age where we live in a place where, like, I'm pretty isolated, you know, I don't feel like I can tell somebody that they're doing something wrong, you know, do I really have to do this? And we just kind of keep moving on, and maybe we get to the next part. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Okay, I don't want to be tempted. Sure, sounds like an out there, maybe. No. This is an important thing that we need to, because it's been brought up here. And so in your notes there, the idea is this: we restore those caught in sin gently and with urgency. And so the idea of gently there, it says it right in the passage, and this is one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? So because you are a person who has the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, that third person of the Trinity that's been gifted, that's the gift of salvation, and you are keeping in step with the Spirit, because the Spirit leads you to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you see somebody sinning, the Bible says, you should do something about that. You should restore them. But not as the righteousness police, okay? This is an important thing as we talk about coming alongside people who are caught in sin, because this isn't the only passage in the Bible that this is talked about. This actually comes in lots of different places. And the idea here, all the way through and in the Bible, is the point and the goal is always restoration. The point and the goal is to bring that person back to a place where they are in step with the Spirit, right?
That's the goal, to be walking in step with the Spirit, because that is the abundant life. That's the life that God has promised for us. That's the path of righteousness. Not on our own, where we just wipe out all over the place like that game show. That's what happens, and that's what life looks like when we're on our own. But when we're in step with the Spirit, we walk with Him. And so Scripture tells us here that we who live by the Spirit, that's brothers and sisters in Christ who have the Spirit in them, you should go to restore that person gently. With humility is the idea there. We gently and with humility restore them. And this is not easy to do. And it says there's a posture that we should take. Part of that posture was in verse 26, where it's, we don't need to look at ourselves too high or low. So we've already taken a stance of humility. We're growing in humility. That's what verse 26 talks about. Not looking above people, thinking we're superior to them. Because let me tell you, when you go to talk to somebody and you want to gently bring about to them that they are caught or entangled in sin, you know the first words that are likely going to come out of their mouth. Who are you to judge me, right? And so the Bible makes it very clear that we are still to do this, but that the first heart position that we're supposed to take is evaluate our own heart, right? To look at our own selves, to say and remember that we are not better than them. We are not worse than them. We are saved exactly by the same hope that they have, that Jesus died on the cross for us. The Bible tells us that while we were his enemy, he died for us. We didn't do anything to receive his grace. He lavished that on us, and we are coming to remind our brother or sister in Christ of the goodness of the gospel that they are not living up to help free them. And so when we come to them in gentleness, we check our own hearts. You may think about that idea, as I mentioned, people say we are not to judge, and they use the Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 passage of, you know, take that big plank out of your own eye before you judge me. And, you try to pick the sawdust out of mine and you got a big plank. Well, the passage talks about, okay, take that plank out so you can still go and remove the sawdust from somebody else's eye. The idea there is check your own life, evaluate yourself. But that doesn't mean you still don't go over there and help that other person. It says we are to do this. It says we are to restore them gently, but evaluate our own life. We are not the righteousness police sitting in the bush waiting to see somebody do wrong and then jump out and say, ha, I got you. We are coming out of love to restore this person. Now, even Paul talks about this in Galatians, not in Galatians chapter 5. While talking to the church in Galatia, we talked about this maybe two or three weeks ago. He comes to the church in Galatia and he says this to them, talking about their spiritual walk. Because sometimes we think our spiritual walk is all private, but it's not. It affects the body of Christ. And Jesus, as he saves us and brings us into the local body, he wants us to care for one another, loving one another, because we represent him. And he wants us to be with him in eternity. And so this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. In talking to the Galatians, he says, you were running a good race. You were walking in step with the Spirit. You were living this Christian life. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? See, Paul here is reminding the people that sometimes when we look out, we see people, and it looks like they're running well. And they were running well, and they were following. But all of a sudden, they disappeared. They weren't here at church anymore, right? All of a sudden, they got this strange idea about what it means to, you know, you can fill in your own examples there. Some strange belief, some strange action that they think all of a sudden is right. And we are called to come and gently, in love, come alongside that person and say, hey, you were running a good race. It looked like you were keeping in step with the Spirit, but it doesn't look like you are anymore. Who cut in on you? What cut in on you? What stopped you from running that three-legged race, keeping in step with the Spirit? This is not judgmental. This is loving. James chapter 5, verse 19 to 20 gives us this encouragement and again also a push of what we are to do as brothers and sisters in Christ when we see people sinning. It says this, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, okay, so the reality is, we all wander at times. We all need others to correct us, okay? Now, this is talking about, you know, somebody that is caught in that sin. They don't see that blind spot. They don't see that what they're doing is wrong or where it could lead down this path. And James 5 says, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, you will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sin. Like, how amazing is that, right? Go on out, love one another. If you see somebody who's not on that path, it actually encourages us, you should bring them back. Now, that's not, you should go whip them, you should go pull them back and berate them. Again, a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of humility, realizing that we are the same. We have the same hope, we have the same Jesus, we have the same way back to Jesus, which is repentance. And then when we do that, we have saved them from death. Why? Because the Bible simply talks about the greatest enemy that we have is death, which is a result of sin and separation from God. And Jesus' death on the cross has triumphed over that. That's what Scripture tells us. And so these are a few of the passages in the Bible. Obviously, the other one that we talk about regularly is in Matthew chapter 18, where if we just go to somebody to restore them gently, if they just say, you know, I don't want to hear that. You know, Scripture reminds us in Matthew 18, 15 to 17, with the same goal of restoring that brother or sister to Christ. That's always the goal, to love them with gentleness so they hear you and they come back. It tells us, go one-on-one. You see a brother or sister sinning, don't come tell me. You go and bring it to them. If that doesn't work, if they're not persuaded by the love of Jesus, if they're not moved in their heart that the Holy Spirit, who is supposed to be in there to come alongside the Spirit, because it's not our job to make sure that they obey the Spirit. Our job is to follow the Spirit, and the Spirit leads us to remind them of the truth of the gospel, then we are trusting that the Spirit will again work in their lives. But if they don't listen to that, then bring another brother or sister who cares for them, so that they can see the urgency of that. And if you win them over, hooray, then you have saved them from death, as James talks about. If you haven't, and you've brought some others there, and you're praying, it says bring it to the church, bring it to the body of believers. Why would we bring it to the body of believers? So others can gossip? No. So others in humility remember that we are saved by God's grace, that we were flesh people, wanting to follow our desires and the passions of this world, seeing everything as temporary, but we are reminded that we are supposed to look to eternity, we are supposed to rely on the Spirit, and we're supposed to come alongside that person as a church, praying that they would be restored. And then it says, if they still don't listen to the church, we are to treat them as they are not believers. We are to treat them as though the Holy Spirit, because verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, you can't be a Christian if you're not living by the Spirit. And the Spirit, what we see in James chapter 5 here, desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. So if somebody's living according to the sinful nature and the desires and the ways of living, they're not living according to the Lord. And by our evidence of what we see, they're not keeping in step with the Spirit. We have to say, we don't see that they are following Jesus, that they are a Spirit-filled believer. They're not living by the Spirit, but they're living by the flesh. And Galatians says that leads to death. And so it lays this out. How are we, though, as fellow believers, what are we called to do? We are called to love the world, to share the gospel with them. So this brother who asked for going through this, or sister who's after going through this process, do we then shun them and are mean to them and kick them out? No. Well, we don't kick them out and shun them and are mean to them. We love them into the kingdom, reminding them of what the gospel is, that it is good, it is what has saved us. We do that not from a position of superiority, but from a position of humility, who has been saved by Jesus. And so this is important, but let me tell you, and I probably don't have to, but I will. This reminds us of what we should do. It says we should do this. It doesn't tell us also all the outcomes of this, that most of the time this will not be received well. Some of the times it will be received well, but it still tells us that we should do this. The hope is that as we go in gentleness, in humility, in step with the Spirit, pointing them to the hope that they have in Jesus, that they will be restored, that they will turn from pursuing the passions and desires of this flesh and will pursue Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And when they do, we have helped in walking alongside them and restoring them. And this is an amazing thing. And so as we go along, more is going to be said about this in verses 2 to 6. As we kind of summarize that, it says this: love others by appropriately helping them with heavy loads, okay? So you'll see what that is. So verse 2 to 6 in Galatians says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Now, as this goes through, verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. What's the burdens? So one of the burdens would be coming alongside people to restore them. This is a burden. This is something that's heavy. This is something that's hard, right? But there are other burdens that it talks about as well. But we need to know the reason why we're doing this, not just what the task is. Because when we have the reason why we're doing it, we will be motivated to get to the end. And so the reason why we get involved in people's lives, the reason why we carry others' burdens is simple: to fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if you know in Galatians, it seems odd that Paul would be talking about the law, because the whole book of Galatians is actually talking about how you're no longer under law. But Paul wants to do that to remind them, well, you're still under something, because there's been a whole discussion about freedom. And now you are free, free from the law, but not free to pursue whatever you want, free to live under the law of Christ, which is what? To love others as Christ has loved you. What has Christ done? Well, he has shown us that's a whole sermon series there. But he has loved people. He has redeemed them. He has restored them. He has helped them. He has paid the price for their sin, so they're no longer in sin. He has walked alongside people, but he calls us to love others. That's fulfilling the law of Christ. That's why we carry each other's burdens, because Jesus tells us to cast our cares and worries upon him, right? And then he also, at times, sends other people along in our life to carry the burdens. So, now, let's talk about heavy burdens, but before we get there, verse 3 and 4, it says, if anyone thinks that they are something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Okay, again, having a right view of yourself. Don't think too highly or too lowly, but don't think you're something when you're not. Each one should test their own actions. And so what this is talking about is looking at myself, evaluating myself, not based on how I am in comparison to Pastor Steve or my wife or my children or anybody, but to look at myself in relation to who God is. When we see him, when we see his righteousness and his goodness and the characteristics and the qualities of him and what he would have for me to do, I then go through, am I walking in the Spirit? Then I will see myself rightly, I will see myself clearly, and then I can test my own actions. And I can take pride, not in a bad way, but I can realize that the Lord is working in me. And I don't then need to compare myself. My position in life, my feeling good about myself, does not need to come as a result of putting other people down. We like to do that, right? I'm not that bad because I'm better off than this person. I'm good this way, and this person is really bad that way. I can't believe they didn't take my advice. No. Just get up. Here, it reminds us, evaluate our own lives. And then it says in verse 5, as we look to ourselves, it says, look at ourselves, evaluating, for each one should carry their own load. So it may seem like there's a contradiction here. In verse 2, it says, carry each other's burdens. And then in verse 5, it says, each one should carry their own load. So what is it? Well, if you go to the original Greek, and as I look through commentaries, they give me insight into what these things say. And the word there for carry each other's burdens, so for burdens and for load, are two different words. And so the idea of a burden is something that is like a giant boulder, something that is very, very heavy, unable to be carried by one person, okay? And the idea of a load there is a backpack, like a soldier's pack. A soldier in this day and age and now is required to carry their own pack. If you try to take your pack and pass it off on somebody else, they are not going to like that because they got their own pack to carry. And so what Scripture is teaching us here, and the point that we're trying to make is this: love others by appropriately helping with heavy loads. Now, this bench here up front, every once in a while we need to move it out of here. This is a heavy load for me. I've tried to move it myself, almost broken that glass many times. When nobody else is around, I've also had to put out dollies. But when I move that, I need somebody else. That is a heavy load, unable for me to carry. Okay? I need somebody. The Bible talks about we are all going to experience heavy boulders, crushing things in our lives that we need help with. These are weights outside of the ordinary, too heavy for us. It might be sin that we're entangled in. And at times we then need others to come alongside, and we're called to love each other and to carry those. It might be an illness that we experience, and we need others to come alongside, pray for us, help us, take care of us. It might be losing a job. It might be some financial need that you have in this moment. It might be the death of a spouse or a child or anything like that. It might be just a time in your life where your mental health is not well and you're experiencing intense anxiety or depression and you need other people to come alongside you and you reach out for that. The list of things that are boulders and heavy in your life, they're there, and we need each other. We're called to carry each other's burdens. To do this, though, we need to know each other, and that's why the Bible talks about how we're supposed to be involved in each other's lives. Even as a local church, we say, join a small group, serve with one another, do things outside of here together, so you know the burdens that you have. Invite people out. But the idea here of carrying your own load is like a backpack. On the way to school, you need to carry your own backpack. There are things in your life you just need to do. You know, when you need to load your dishwasher at home, please don't call me. That is not a heavy burden that you need me to carry, right? That's something that's just part of your load in life. Each of you have your own load that you need to take care of, right? You, part of your load is in keeping in step with the Spirit, spending time regularly in prayer and reading the Bible. No one else can do the growing for you. You need to carry that load on yourself. So as you evaluate yourself, you go, am I doing these things? No? Okay, I need to start doing that. I got to carry my own backpack here. I need to start doing that. Nobody's going to help you with your life duties, the basic adulting things, right? These are tough. Going out, getting to work on time, brushing your teeth, cooking food, having groceries in the house. These are your backpack. This is your life. You need to do these things, right? You need to take responsibility. You're not showing up to work on time. You have no desire to work. A work ethic is something you need to do. Turning away from sin and fleshly temptation. This is a burden that all of us carry. Now, there's other things in here, lots of them. And at times, what's going to happen is the big heavy boulders in our lives, and sometimes the load, these are not always the exact same for people, okay? Some people, what is a backpack issue for me is not a backpack issue for you. And maybe it is a heavy boulder right now. And so what it is figuring out how to help that person so they can carry their own load and not just, you know, make other people do their stuff. They need to grow and mature and be challenged and walked in the Spirit. But the reality here is that we need to carry each other's burdens. We need to evaluate ourselves and say, what am I supposed to be doing so I can carry other burdens so I'm not a burden to other people? And so it's important to love others by helping others to know what is a heavy burden that we help with, but also what are loads that they need to carry. So love others by appropriately helping with heavy loads. And finally, the last part of this passage, we also talk, verse 6 there. Nevertheless, it says, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Paul's talking here about how you need to share loads. And what he's specifically talking about is those who are teachers, you need to share with them to make sure that they can live. And, you know, this church pays its staff, and we're able to live. And we are so thankful for the way that this church, you as a congregation, take care of us. You fulfill doing this. But in this passage and in the time of Paul, because there was other false teachers coming in, you know, they have new false other teachers, other people that are persuading them, there was teachers who were teaching Jesus, and they weren't able to live anymore. They're not able to teach the truth. And if you're not able to teach the truth, then you're believing lies. And so Paul just says, just like you're sharing burdens, share the burden of taking care of your teacher. They share with you the good things, and you need to share with them so that they can devote themselves to doing these, to doing the teaching and the sharing of God's word. As it continues on in the last part, verse 7 to 10, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. There's just this reminder as we keep in step with the Spirit that you can live a life, anybody in here, and you can think this is all rubbish, that it doesn't matter at all, that this idea of you're either part of the flesh or part of the Spirit, you're either living for yourself or living for God, you might go, that doesn't matter, I'm just living. The Bible reminds us here in God's Word, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. You can't mock God. And they give this principle of life. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. If you want to grow an apple tree, you must plant an apple seed and grow a sapling. If you want cucumbers, you have to plant cucumber seeds. It's the law of what you sow, you will reap. This is natural in life. This is all over the place. And Paul is just reminding them, you can't trick God. You can't get to the end and be like, actually, I was pretty good. And he's going to go, what? Are you kidding me? Look at how you lived your life. You sowed, and that's what the Bible is talking about. That's what living to your desires. You sowed just living for the immediate, the here and now, these things. And so you will reap destruction, the Bible says. But if you sow, that's sowing to the flesh, you will reap destruction. But the other side, the flip side of that is, if you sow to please the Spirit, if you live a life not to please yourself for the temporary, but live a life to please God by loving others, by doing these things, by coming alongside those who are caught in sin to restore them gently, by carrying each other's burdens, by doing these things, if you sow and live in a life and a way to please the Spirit of God, you will reap eternal life. And so verse 6, chapter 6, verse 7 to 10, it says, we reap what we sow, so tirelessly sow in the Spirit towards eternity. We could go on about this, but the reality is, and the encouragement is, continue to sow in the Spirit. And at times you may feel like, man, there is nothing happening. You know, there are lots of different seeds out there. Some of them, if you just plant little grass seeds if you have kids or when you were a kid, just to see something sprout up, you know, it only takes less than a week and your grass will start growing. But when you're trying to grow like a sequoia, a little seed or some of these other seeds for plants, they take a long time. There's a lot of work that's going on under the soil. If you're a new farmer, you might become agitated about that. A new gardener, you might become agitated. But there is a time that plants, if you've planted bulbs, if you've planted any perennials, you know they're going to come up at that exact time. This is just reminding us, look, God keeps his promises, sow in the Spirit, and you will reap in eternity. You will. It's coming. It's a sure thing. And so verse 9 to 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up. Do not become weary in doing good. That's what the scriptures remind us of. And that is hard because this, loving people, walking in step with the Spirit, not seeing results sometimes, coming alongside people who are caught in sin, man, it is weary. We become heavy burdens sometimes by doing good. And scripture just reminds us here, don't worry. The principle of you sow, you will reap. When you sow in the Spirit to do good, don't grow weary in that because it will reap a harvest. You might not see it in this lifetime. You'll see it in eternity. You might not see it right now, but it is coming. So don't grow weary. And so it says in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This just reminds us that we are people who are walking by the Spirit and we are called to do good. Some of us just want good done to us. And that's why we need to evaluate ourselves. You know, we often talk about ways that you can serve here at the church. You know, kitchen time. We have lots of opportunities for people to serve there, to love one another, to do good, to serve in other places here at the church. But with your family, with your neighbor, with your coworkers. Scripture here is telling us, if we are in step with the Spirit, we are going to be looking for opportunity. And by doing this, we are sowing to please the Spirit. Look for opportunities to do good for others. And particularly amongst each other. So if you see that someone is hurting or struggling or needs some help, maybe it's a heavy burden, but maybe it's just a word of encouragement. Scripture is filled with that. Do it. That's what we're called to do, to love each other, to carry each other's burdens, to look for opportunities to do good. And when we do that, we continue to live and keep in step with the Spirit. The Scriptures remind us that the Lord has prepared good works for in advance for us to do. These are those good works. They're prepared for you today. Go and do them. That might be, it is really endless. If you ask the Spirit, show me what I can do today that is good, that will be pleasing to you, that will lay up treasures in heaven, that will help me focus on eternity and not just myself. He will lead you in those ways. I'm going to invite the worship team up now to finish us off in our final song.